Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
He knows the way I take. On April 14th, 1912, around 11:30 at night, the Titanic scraped an iceberg that put a 300-foot gash in the ship's hull beneath the waterline. The chambers of the ship began to fill up, and as the captain became aware of the emergency situation that was at hand, communications operators called for help. But that help never came, and the ship sank nearly 3 hours later in the icy cold waters of the Atlantic, claiming about 1,500 lives. Have you ever felt like you've been in trouble and you've called out for help and there was nobody there? There was no one there to help you. Maybe you've reached out to friends and neighbors and maybe you just felt like there was no one there for you, or maybe you've even prayed to God and you felt there was no answer. Many of us have felt that. I know I have felt that at times. You know, some of you here this morning, this may be your first time in church or first time in a long time. Or maybe you don't know why you're here, because you really haven't had a much use for God in your life lately. And maybe the reason for that is because you have felt that way. You called out to God at one time, but you felt that He didn't answer. He wasn't there. He didn't take care of you. If you have felt like that, I want you to know that's not bad, because you're in good company. You're in good company. There have been many people, even in the Bible, that have felt that way. There's a prophet, his name was Elijah, and we read about it in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah had just destroyed 450 false prophets of Baal, and Queen Jezebel, the queen of the nation, puts a price on his head. So there's a death contract out for him. He is a wanted man, and Elijah is just at a place where he's ready to give up completely. He's ready. He feels there's no use. He says, he prayed in verse 4, he prayed that he might die. He said, "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." He doesn't ask for help. He doesn't say, "God, get me out of this situation." He feels it's hopeless. It does no good to talk to God. And he says, "God, just take me home. Just kill me now. Get me out of here." Maybe you felt that way sometimes. God, just end the pain, end the misery, end the suffering. There's another guy. His name is David. And David wrote in Psalms 22 how he felt. And this is what he says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent." You see, this feeling of God abandoning you, of God not being around to help, of God not answering you, is a common feeling. And as we look at our text today, we're going to see another individual. We're going to look at him a little bit more in depth, a guy by the name of Job. Job 23, verse 8, we see Job feeling the exact same way. Take a look at it. Job says, "Look, I go forward, and he," referring to God, "is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When God works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. And when he turns to the right, I cannot see him." You can just hear Job's uncertainty. "God, where are you? I know you're working around me, but I really don't see it. I know you're supposed to be here, but I don't sense it. I have no connection with you." You can hear the instability, the frustration, and the anguish, the agony that's taking place in Job's life. Job was stressed out. How many of you are stressed out? Some of you are. A lot of new college students I know right now are stressed out. I have two college students. I hear how stressed out they are. You know, stress, and I would like you to take out your notes this morning. We want to talk about How do we deal with stress? How do we deal with difficult times? If you take out your bulletin this morning, and on the back is a sermon section, and at the top it says three seasons of stress. There's three times when we're susceptible to stress. The first one in your notes is a season of suffering. A season of suffering. This is what Job was going through, a season of suffering in his own life. You can read about the details. In fact, I encourage you this week, read Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. It's a great setting. You really get the full impact of what was taking place in his life. But for time's sake, I'm just going to summarize with verses 1 through 3 in Job 1. It says, there is a man in the There was a man in the land. It sounds like a rap, doesn't it? There was a man in the land of Uz, not Oz. Not the Wizard of Oz, it was Uz. And his name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. So Job is a good guy. He's an upright guy. He's not a wretch. He's not, you know, someone who hates God, but he loves God. He's a righteous, holy person. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, meaning he had servants and slaves that oversaw all of these things, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Job had a lot of wealth, a lot of affluence, a very influential, wealthy man. But as you read the rest of the chapter, he loses it all. He loses it all. All of his livestock, the sheep and the oxen that were used for clothing. They used the wool for clothing. The oxen were used for farming, and they were also sometimes used for meat. That was one of the main trades back then. Job lost all of them. He lost the camels and the donkeys. Those were used in trade to carry things. The camels took things across the desert. It was basically a shipping business. UCS, United Camel Service. What can Brown do for you? Okay? And he lost all of that in a moment's notice. So he's broke and he has no way of making money anymore. On top of that, as you read more, all of his children die. The house collapses in a natural disaster and all of his kids die. As you turn to chapter 2, his health deteriorates. He has boils from head to toe. He is in so much misery. Then his wife turns on him. She says in verse 9, curse God and die. Just curse him and die. She's thinking he's a blasphemer. There's some kind of secret sin in his life. And if he just curses God and dies, then I can move on with this pain. I can get away from this pain. I mean, you talk about having a very bad day. That's what happened to Job. And then when you read chapter 3 through the rest of the book, it's basically Job's friends, his closest friends, turn on him. And they don't support him. They're not there for him. And Job feels like God is not there for him. That's what we read in verse 8 of chapter 23. I look to the left and the right. I don't see him. He's not there. Job feels abandoned by God. And here's the thing. You may be going through a time of suffering like Job. Maybe it's physical suffering. Maybe it's mental suffering. Maybe it's financial suffering. Maybe you have a situation with one of your kids that just really stressing you out right now. Whatever your season of suffering is, there is hope through it. And we need to know that because sometimes when we suffer, we don't sense the presence of God. We feel He's not there. That's the first season of stress. The second season of stress is a season of silence. If you're taking notes this morning, a season of silence. There's times when we're praying and God is silent. He doesn't seem to answer. He doesn't seem to care about our situation. And we read that in the beginning of the message in Psalm 22 when David says, I cry in the morning and the night and you're not there. And there have been times when I have prayed and I've had devotions and it seems like, and I'm just reading the newspaper. I feel like it's my prayers hit the ceiling and they bounce back down, and it's like the heavens are made of brass, and it feels useless. It's like, why even try to pray? Because it doesn't do any good. And we're searching our hearts. God, is there anything wrong I've done? Is there any sin I've committed? You know, what's out of step? And we can't find anything, but it just seems, whatever reason, God has pulled back his presence and his hand from us, and he's not there. When that happens, that causes stress. Sometimes we're even following God. I know sometimes people, they've moved or they've taken a new job. They felt God leading them. But then once they got there, it was just like everything kind of fell apart. And what do we do now? And I thought I was following God, and God is quiet. Crickets chirp when they pray. What do you do when God is silent? That causes stress. That causes stress. And then there's a third season of stress, and that is success. Did you realize that being successful can cause stress? The Apostle Paul felt like this. He traveled all over Asia Minor, traveling to different towns, preaching and planting churches. And these churches began to take off and they began to grow. And many of them are striving, but they're encountering problems. And so now Paul is stressed over the churches. It says he wrote to the church in Corinth. In his second letter to them, in chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Besides other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches." And before that, he was saying, you know, I have been robbed and beaten, and I have been in prison, and I went through all this suffering and this hardship, and on top of all that, I've got the stress of the churches. I'm concerned about how they're going, how they're doing. And there's times when God blesses us, but we're going, man, I don't know how I can handle this. God, you've got to help me. I'm in over my head. I'm overwhelmed. It's like, quit blessing me, God. Suffering, silence, and success can all cause stress in our life. So if you're stressed out this morning, how do you deal with it? We're going to see what Job did, okay? We're going to see what Job did. Three things to keep in mind in your notes if you're stressed this morning. Number one, you need to keep this in mind that God knows the way we take. God knows the way we take. That's what it said in verse 10. He knows the way I take. That's what Job said in verse 10. He knows. I hope he knows. There was a certainty. God knows where I'm at. God is right here with me. I think of the song that we just sang today. I am a friend of God. Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you're thinking of me? Do you realize that God is thinking of you? That he's mindful of you? He knows where you're at. He understands where you're at. There's nothing you're going through all alone. You may feel alone, but God is with you always. You're not abandoned. You're not lost. He hasn't forsaken you. He knows the way you take in your mind, the thoughts that you think. He knows how you lay in bed at night sleepless, and those thoughts just keep tumbling over and over in your mind like a load of clothes in a dryer. And you can't get to sleep because, God, how do I do it? And it's just an endless cycle. God knows those thoughts. He knows the way your emotions are, your fears and your doubts and your questions. He knows the anxiety. He knows the way you take this morning. He's not oblivious. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, he knows the way I take. God knows what you're going through. You're not alone. That's the first thing to remember when you're dealing with stress. Whether it's from suffering, silence, or success, he knows the way you take. He is with you. There's a second thing to keep in mind when we're stressed out, and that is our response. When we're stressed out, what should our response be? Our response is to grab onto God. Grab onto God and don't let go. Look at verse 11. Job said, "My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside." The key is to hold fast, to grab onto God and don't let him go. Get a good grip. Matt Redman sings the song, You Never Let Go, and the song says, oh no, God, you never let go. Through the calm, through the storm, you know, in every high and every low, God, you never let go of me. And then the next part of the song, this is what he says. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on earth. That song is saying, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to grab on to you. My heart is going to hold on to you no matter what. No matter what. The psalmist said in Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul, and this is in the King James Version, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth thee. The psalmist says, I'm not just going to be casual and following you, but I am going to follow hard. I am going to pursue you. That word actually means to cling to adhere. It's like being glued to something. You know, it's like stink on a pig. It's like a flea or a tick on a dog. That's how I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be close. I'm not going to follow from a distance, but I am going to passionately go after him. And that's what Job is saying. I am going to hold fast. Look at verse 12 back in Job 23. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I can't tell you how many times I have seen Christians, when they go through a difficult time, they get bitter and frustrated at God, and they throw in the towel on him, and they start walking, they start compromising, they start walking in disobedience. It's just like they throw away their faith. And the psalmist, and Job said, I have not departed from the commandments that you've given. And he says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job is saying, yeah, I need food to sustain me, but God's word is more important. That's what's going to carry me through this trial. You see, if you are going through stress, the thing is not to pull away from God, but to follow hard after him, to pursue him, to hold fast to his steps, and to get into the scriptures and begin to find those nuggets that can support you and you can hold on to and stand on. Treasure his word. It'll sustain you just like food sustains you. Have you slipped in your Bible reading? Has it become less of a priority? Are you not carving out time with God? If you're going through a time of stress, you need that more than ever. Grab on to God. Obey his word. Walk in integrity and righteousness with no compromise. And that's how you overcome stress. There's a third thing this morning that I want to look at. If we're facing stress, the third thing we need to keep in mind, and it's our certainty. We can be certain about this, and I can guarantee you're not going to like this one, okay? Here it is. I need to go through this. There is a reward. I need to go through this. There is a reward. I want you to take a look at verse 13. It says, but he is unique. And who can make him change? Job's talking about God. Who can make God change? Have you ever tried to make God change his mind? God, you don't know what you're talking about. I know better than you, God. But Job says, I realize I can't make him change. Whatever his soul desires, that's what he does. And now look at this. For he performs what is appointed for me. Circle that word appointed. Circle that word appointed. And many such things are without him, okay? Now look at verse 12 above it. Job says, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Circle the word necessary. And now I want you to draw a line from appointed to necessary, okay? Because in the Hebrew language, the same word is used for appointed and necessary, the identical word. And what Job is saying is that this is necessary for me. He performs what is necessary for me. I need to go through this. I don't understand why it's necessary, but God knows it's necessary. One of my kids was in a sport one time and had a coach that just worked him like a dog. I mean, really, really hard workouts. And I remember hearing this child talk about, you know, how tough the workouts were. And I don't know if they were complaining, but they were just sharing what it was. Well, the next year, they had a different coach in the same sport, and the workouts were not the same. And this child was saying, found themselves saying, you know what? I sure miss my coach because, man, his workouts prepared us. They made us stronger. This child did not like what was happening at the time, but only realized later on that was really needed in my life. And friends, that's what God does for us. God knows what we need to go through. And sometimes we don't realize it. We don't like it. We don't understand it. Take a look at verse 10. Job says, he knows the way I take when he has tested me, when he's given me a tough workout, when he's put me through the mill, and I had to do all those tough things that I didn't want to go through, I shall come forth as gold. Job says, I'm going to be like gold. This is not a waste. Nothing's being stolen from me. I'm not being robbed. This is going to produce gold in my life. This is going to produce gain. This is going to have value. That's what Job realized. I don't understand it, but I need to go through it, and there is a reward. We know what God had appointed for Job. If you go to the end of the chapter, you realize that the Lord blessed him. He vindicated his name in heaven and on earth. I mean, he put Job's friend, I mean, God shows up and rebukes Job's friends. Would you like God just to kind of rebuke those people that are on your case? Wouldn't that be nice? God does that to Job's friends. And God blesses Job with more than double of what he had. He gives him his kids back. He gives him his family back. God restores everything. Now, here's the thing. Job was blessed on earth. Sometimes that doesn't always happen. But you see, we serve an eternal God who has an eternal plan. And sometimes that reward is found in eternity and not on earth. And we've just got to trust him. We have got to trust him that whatever we're going through, I need to go through it. There is a reward, and I have got to hold on to God to get it. If Job would have not held fast, if he wouldn't have treasured God's word, if he wouldn't have been glued to him and followed hard after God, he wouldn't have been blessed. He wouldn't have received his reward. But after he was tested, after he went through it, he was found like gold. A.W. Tozer said, it is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. You can't be blessed greatly until you've been hurt deeply. Job was deeply hurt, but he knew that God knew the way he took. He grabbed onto God and held fast to him and to his word. And he knew, I need to go through this. I'm just going to trust him. There is a reward at some point down the road. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us CasperFaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.